All right, check your spirituality as we continue on here in regards to the counterfeits of doctrine that Satan utilizes as a weapon of deceit in regards to mankind. Roman numeral 7, presuming subpoint D, subpoint 6. He actively counterfeits in regards to, among the others, he actively counterfeits various spiritual gifts, signs and miracles, in order to deceive. The supernatural is not anything in and of itself that one can determine the validity of what's right, wrong, etc. The Modern Tongues Movement, which came about actively the last century, is an example of counterfeiting spiritual gifts of the bona fide gift of tongues, which, as we know, was the supernatural means to speak a foreign language, even though one had not ever been trained in that language. The gift of tongues, as illustrated in the letter to the Corinthians, was primarily for evangelizing, phase one, evangelizing unbelievers, whereas the early church, men would go out missionary journeys and enter into lands that spoke a different tongue, and they would have the ability to speak in that language, to present the gospel and other pertinent information attaining to the gospel, and not ever been trained. Paul exhorted the church not to utilize this gift, as obviously that would be a really fun gift to have. In regards to their corporate assembly, apart from one person or so that might utilize it to provide Bible doctrine, not yet having found a written form, then found in the written form in the New Testament canon in the early church. And then he said to always make sure that there is an interpreter. Otherwise, you have nothing but sounds that mean nothing and does not edify the church. The gift of prophecy was the primary gift in the early church to disseminate New Testament doctrine otherwise. So, we have a counterfeit movement. It's mostly gibberish that is practiced in that respect. Not that Satan cannot employ his own vessels of deceit, and people actually could do this and speak in a foreign language. If you're around someone like that, do the sign of the cross and back off. That's what I'd do, because that person is not spiritually healthy in that respect. So, obviously, it's one of the questions people often ask. It's amazing how Satan will even try to intertwine reputations of certain churches that are independent, because tongues kind of were known as independent type of churches apart from the mainstream Christianity. So you tell people, well, our church is independent. Well, do you practice tongues? I won't say what I'm thinking. No, we do not. It's not a bona fide spiritual gift for this portion of the church age. Also, 2 Thessalonians 2, 8 through 12. In regards to the appearance of the Antichrist, the false prophet, in this era of the church, whereas in early church, obviously, people saw miracles consistently brought about through people functioning under spiritual gifts, etc. Christ performing miracles, healing, raising of the dead, etc., feeding the multitudes to validate his message of truth. But in the last days, in the appearance of Antichrist, there will be miracles that will be performed through, under God's permissive will, through satanic power in order to deceive the masses. 2 Thessalonians 2, 8 through 12. And then that lawless one, that being Antichrist, contextually, will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth. I like that phrase, breath of his mouth, because it doesn't even take a word. And bring to an end by the appearance of his coming. That looks at the second advent, of which he will then personally confront the Antichrist and the false prophet and destroy their persons. And verse 9, he goes on to explain, Paul does here, that is, the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan. Whereas we obviously seek to be in complete harmony in regards to the workings of God through Bible doctrine, this individual is a true Satanist. I'll put it that way. You have your Satanists, your Anton LaVey's, the Crowleys, and think people this ilk. But then you had the premier Satanist, and that's Antichrist. And all that he does is in correlation, conjunction with the satanic plan to establish the one world order and government and rule and worship of Satan. And his appearance will be associated with miraculous activity surrounding his person. And that is the emphasis of the next phrase, with all power and signs and false wonders. All these things, apart from having doctrine and recognizing that, no, he does not meet the criteria of the appearance of Messiah who comes from the east like a bolt of lightning from the air with his armies. All the descriptive information we're given so we can, or those who are alive then, can properly identify the person and event at hand. Apart from that, people will be taken in. And there'll be the old, well, if they can do that, then they got to be God. They got to be who they say they are. And all power looks at satanic power that is afforded him through satanic possession. Signs are indicators. He'll have information, things of that nature that, if you will, would be prophetic probably in nature. How would he know these things, etc.? You know, signs, indicators, and false wonders. That looks at various miracles, again, that will associate with him. One of them is that he revives himself from the dead. And in verse 10, as if that's not enough. Verse 10, and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish. That's every instrument of human viewpoint that you can employ to convince people to subscribe to his person and agenda. And those who are negative, all of them in mass on this planet, is going to fall for this. You'll have those who will be reticent, obviously, just like any other time, any other person, things of this nature. But when it's all said and done, what you find at the end of the seven-year tribulation is all the nations have ascribed to his person and are in accord with him to attack Israel. And part of the evidence of their perishing is that they will accept the mark of the beast. They have laser tattoos now that can be read just like a microchip. Get a tattoo put on you and you can put it under a scanner and it can be invisible ink. So it's there. They're doing all they can to push these microchips and things. Get one for your pet for sure. Start little. Work your way into it. It's my understanding that part of the Obama plan was to institute microchips and a database in that regards, in regards to those who subscribed to it, but it got shot down in Congress. So now they're trying to implement it in regards to immigration. Passports now. Scan all those, you know. Everything is basically read it in a jiffy, and they have the entire background on the individual. But anyway, getting close. The real cause in regards to why people fall for the lies is because they do not receive the love of the truth so as to be delivered. All we can do is warn people. Whether we're looking at the magnitude in regards to evangelizing others or even those who may be in our immediate periphery otherwise. All you can do is warn them. Give them the truth. Here it is. But it's up to them to make that choice to say, yes, that's what I want. Those who do not, that live in this era of human history, will fall for one of the greatest magic shows ever presented by Satan to the cosmos. Verse 11, and for this reason God will send upon them, that being the negative who are perishing, a deluding influence, so that they might believe the lies, literally, what is false. Almost like, if you will, drug-induced. It's the idea you get, this influence. People will be captured by his personality, his charisma, what he's able to do, his agenda. And they, if you will, lose any mental sobriety, spiritual sobriety that they might have had otherwise. And fall for this. Our message today is we're fast approaching this time and period in history. And if you're looking at the church overall, universally, to give you all your direction and guidance to avoid the pitfalls going into this area, that's a mistake. If you don't find an adjusted local church that's teaching sound doctrine prophetically, etc., to identify for you, first and foremost, what time and period of history you live in, we are indeed in the latter part, in the Laodicean period. We know this through the doctrine of the fig tree. That's your proof text. If you don't have that, then I don't care what you have in regards to Scripture, in regards to the prophecy of nations, such as USA and prophecy, etc. You cannot absolutely with certainty say you're part of the rapture generation. See, that is your proof text, the fig tree. You want to know why I've battled with this in regards to others who have taken opposition to it, even early on in my ministry. People have blown out of here over that very doctrine. It's because that is our proof text. That's what we stand upon. The fig tree is the nation Israel re-emerging in 1948. It refers to Israel, the nation. Not the temple being built, the nation. See? And we know that we're in the generation. So, I can tell you this, there are many, many ICE churches that do not hold to the doctrine of fig tree. Just because they say they're ICE churches doesn't mean that they're like-minded, I can tell you that. So the deluding influence, getting drunk on the cosmic attraction of agenda, viewpoint, miracles, things of this nature. You want to embrace this stuff, fall for it, then that's your judgment. And that's verse 12, in order that they all may be judged who do not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. And this wickedness is not simply immorality, even though aspects of immorality will obviously be implemented in regards to it. This whole embracing of homosexuality, all this stuff, is nothing more than paving the road. Revelation 13, 11 through 14 again. Here in regards to the false prophet, to show that he too is given extraordinary abilities and power. I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, false prophet, which by all indication of the beast coming out of the sea, being the Antichrist, being Gentile, a false prophet from the land or earth, being Jewish. And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. The lamb being a ram, having horns. And he spoke as a dragon, means that he imitates the angel of light, Satan, in speech. See, this guy, he will be the entourage, the sidekick of the Antichrist, will be a prolific speaker. No telling what he may yank out of the Bible, out of the Quran, and anything else he can get a hold of religious articles to try to support the positions. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence. When they're together, they're, if you will, two peas in a pod. And he makes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose fatal wound was healed. Again, reference to the resuscitation of Antichrist. And he performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down out of heaven to the earth in the presence of men. That'd be pretty phenomenal. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth, verse 14, causes the signs which is given him to perform in the presence of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who had the wind of the sword and has come to life. Chapter 16. I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon, that's the Antichrist, recognizing the difference of terms used for Antichrist versus the false prophet. And out of the mouth of the beast, that's Satan in correlation with Antichrist. And out of the mouth of the false prophet, three unclean spirits like frogs. Frogs are actually slimy, detestable creatures. Even as a kid, digging out, slimy. They have voracious appetites. Frogs eat and attack like you wouldn't believe. They are predator animals in the insect world, in their own world. See. For they are spirits of demons, looking at the unholy Trinity, throwing out all the human viewpoint, doctrine of demons, in harmony with one another. That's your picture. Performing signs, the miracles again, which go out to the kings of the whole earth, to gather them together for the war of the great day of God, the Almighty. Proclaims his agenda. This is what's right. I'll prove it to you. And then he performs some great miracle. Something that if you're not wary and you're not in tune, you're going to fall for it. See. And even the rulers and leaders of nations will go for this guy. And for their team of influence. Verse 15, behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and keeps his garments, unless he walk about naked and men see his shame. That's Christ's words. And it can't be missed that he inserts it at this point in time, especially dealing with the book of Revelation that looks at the latter days. And his coming not only looks at the second advent, but also the rapture, and the fact that the majority of the church is going to be found unclothed with SG3 when they stand at the Bema Seat. As believers fall for bits and pieces of the satanic agenda as it comes in to play still at the end of the church age, especially, such as evolution. Staunch creationists at one time, you can see them bending and bowing to this. God did the initial creation, then the rest of it kind of evolved. And they fall for all these theories. Understand this. Even all this stuff you see, these great scientific, astrological things that we do and able to do. And you know, you see these pictures of the universe and how they just show all these different colors and et cetera, and how beautiful it is out there. That's all imagery that's supplied by men. They don't know what color that stuff is. But they want to make it look good, see. So that, everything that they're saying about this must be right. You know, they proclaim things scientifically like you can judge distance based on brightness and dimness of light and how they figure out light years. Oh, really? And yet they're looking at the stars or some other stellar object that is brighter at one time and is dimmer at the other. How do you know exactly where that thing's at? How far it is away? And it does it within a month, and supposedly it's way out there on the edge of the universe. See, these things are theory. You understand, today it's being shoved down our throats, facts that are not facts. In every area of science, not just there, even within the medical field and other aspects of science. See. Educational field, academics, all these things. So, but people fall for it. We see how easy people fall for it. Everybody just accepts it. Okay. No. Going up? You know, that goofy dog on cartoons. Hey. That's the cosmos. Nineteen twenty. And the beast was seized, and with him the false prophet who performed the signs in his presence. Again, another validation, another verse that validates the false prophet. The communicator of satanic doctrine is given these supernatural abilities to go along with the Antichrist, to complement him. By which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast, and those who worshipped his image. These two were thrown alive in the lake of fire, which burns with brimstone. They get to be the first residents of the lake of fire. Antichrist and false prophet. And, you know, while the Antichrist obviously is the center of attention, the main attraction, the verses pretty much make it clear that the false prophet is the one that carries just mass influence in regards to his person. So everybody, and I understand this, everybody looking, okay, who's the Antichrist and all this stuff, you know, out there in the world. We have our own assumption. But how many are truly concerned about the false prophet? Somebody that's going to appear on the scene with this bucket of lies that draws everybody in and starts focusing their attention in this direction. Now, we know the Antichrist comes out from the dead. He's not going to appear until the rapture. We don't have that kind of information in regards to the false prophet. So, can he be alive today somewhere in existence? I can't tell you yes or no. And then 2010, another one. 2010, the devil who deceived them was thrown in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are also. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. All right. 7, he promotes counterfeit Christ. There's many antichrists. Jesus himself made prophecy in this regard at the first advent. And time-wise, we're looking at some 2,000 years down the road in history for all these things to come about. But the fact that Jesus is emphasizing these things even at the first advent tells you, all right, now we're entering into a time and an era of history where other things are going to start becoming issues in regards to mankind and living God's plan for your life, the Christian life, in this vein. So beware when you hear information that comes from people's mouths that tend to validate these things I warn you against. That's Mark 13. Wrong book. Hang on. So, all the previous teaching is prophetic, to be on guard. The human viewpoint influence is going to be directed for this particular end as prophesied in the last days. And in correlation with that, you will have those who will proclaim themselves to be the Messiah. And then if anyone says to you, behold, here is the Christ, or behold, he is there, do not believe him. If they say, look, he's over here in Europe, or he's over here in Africa, or in Amsterdam. Yeah, where? If they say that he's in some geographical location, don't believe him. Why? Because he's going to arrive from stellar space. Let's see. When he returns, for false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show signs and wonders in order, if possible, to lead the elect astray. Nobody's immune in regards to satanic attack. And the deceivious nature of false communicators in whom they may target. They have really no respect for other communicators' sheep. Often. Not always, but often. Take heed. Behold, I have told you everything in advance. If you're caught off guard, he's saying, it's not my fault. And that is the way it is when you've got truth and you warn people. If they're caught off guard otherwise, well, you've done what you can do. See? I have told you in advance in regards to be aware of these things, etc., as it may apply prophetically as well as all doctrine. Hey, he has a counterfeit millennium. The satanic politics. The age of Aquarius. Let's see. A time of utopia. A time of peace. We'll bring them all in together, get control over people, and provide a whole new thousand-year Reich, if you will. And, you know, where you stand in regards to whether you're a premillennialist, all millennials, all these things, that has influence on how people think. A lot of believers and political people high up, you can see that they believe that it's up to us to bring in the millennium. See, to bring about things. Quite honestly, my personal opinion, and I say that straight out, I think a lot, not everything. Obviously, we understand the entire scheme of things, but a lot of the Iraqi thing is due to belief of political leaders within our own country of believing that Iraq is the prophesied Babylon. They're trying to bring these things about. Take it for what it's worth. I've seen indications of that. I've seen bits and pieces of thinking that's come from the Bush family, etc. They're probably Catholic, all millennials, which believe that we established the millennium really on our own. See, Jeb Bush, he's big time Catholic. I won't say this. I started to call them an unholy trio, but I won't. But the brothers and fathers won't be three. Doesn't look like, since he's out of the presidential race. Jeb is. Jeb. Can you think of a name better for your president or one that you would not like as much as Obama? Jeb. Jeb. Who's your president? Jeb. I'm kidding. All right. That's the way it goes. You vote for whoever you want. That's your right. Doesn't make any difference to me. All right, so that was Mark, counterfeit millennium, Revelation 20, verse 3. If I'm entertaining myself, I'm an only child, so you got to put up with me. My wife keeps reminding me of that. And threw him into the abyss and shut it and sealed it over him. Satan's bound for the true millennium, so that he should not deceive the nations any longer. What's the deception? That he's going to usher in, he is the Messiah. He's going to usher in the 1,000 years of peace. Until 1,000 years were completed. After these things, he must be released for a short time. So 9, a purpose for his incarceration for the 1,000 years that we just read, is to squelch his deceiving of the nations in this regard. And when he's released at the end of the 1,000 years, he once again employs his tactic of deceiving the nations. And there will be one final battle, Gog and Magog, that's verse 8. To gather them together for the war, the number of them is like the sand of the seashore. Something just still blow my mind. The pursuit of Bible doctrine is the believer's protection to avoid the deception of Satan's lies. You want to protect yourself not fall into the trappings of what the cosmos, with Satan pulling the strings behind it, falling into these trappings, these stumbling blocks, etc., is to pursue doctrine and make that your point of view, your protection. Ephesians 4:14. We are in a conflict. It's spiritual in nature. We all have been commissioned to serve in that conflict. At whatever level, position, obviously be your spiritual gift, and simply being a member of the church dictates. Ephesians 4:14. Pursue doctrine under your right pastor teacher, with the agenda and goal to reach maturity and obviously to hold and build ourselves up spiritually, so that we're not the weak link in the witness of the life, the vacillating non-committal individual. As a result, verse 14, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. The influences of the cosmos, of distractions, etc., as well as the human viewpoint, attraction that they attach to these things, and rationalization. By the trickery of men, obviously the agents Satan uses to capture the non-committal, non-stable believer, by craftiness, that's intelligent design, craftiness. People are impressed with the sophistries and knowledge of academia. How many vocabulary words often determines how well one is in speech. See. But that's not the issue. The issue is the truth. If you got to say the black dog represents evil and the white dog represents good, and that's how you communicate, that's how you communicate. See. Thank God for me on that. With regard to the scheming of deceit, the speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, Christ. In Colossians 2, 6 through 8. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord through the phase one gospel, faith in Christ, so walk in Him. Now conduct your life accordingly. You're a believer. You're now a member of the heavenly society, God's kingdom. You have true spirituality, be it God, the Holy Spirit, and the human spirit. Now conduct your life like it. See, as evidence and the witness of light in the midst of darkness. Verse 7, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him. That's the what is referred to as edification complex by some in our circles. The building stones of doctrine, building us up into healthy, well-rounded believers, functioning before God appropriately. And established in your faith means that you're grounded. You find your roots in regards to the truth of doctrine. That's where you get your spiritual sustenance. See. a tree is well established when it's got plenty of water in the soil close to it. Why they are often big around rivers and things of this nature. The roots go down deep. They get all the minerals, nutrition, etc. We're to be established in the faith. Again, not vacillating. Just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Overflowing with gratitude. Thankful that God has made the provision of His plan available and ready for apprehension and possession by you as a believer if you're positive. See. And along the way, you got to practice your defensive moves. Doctrine teaches you how to do that. Your spiritual dojo right here, NPR. Show up, we'll have our workout. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception. See the academia approach of ideology, theory, things of this nature, and empty deception. Often making issues out of things that are non-issues. People are worried about what kind of good they're going to do before God in some part of their life. They don't even go to Bible class anywhere or go to church. Well, the whole issue is empty. And until you get your spiritual act together, getting at your NPR, all this stuff is basically spit in the wind. Duck. Empty deception. According to the tradition of men. Men and all their wisdom. And all that we've learned over history. Oh, like we've learned a lot. History's taught us a lot. Yeah, right. You'd look around and you'd think it hasn't taught squat. As we all fall back into the same, mankind, I say all, mankind falls back into the same trappings of crap that's been done over and over and over in history. And has never taken anywhere, made anybody great and sustained them otherwise. Approaching life like the under the socialistic agenda. Anyway. According to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. And in F, the believer is to avoid empty cosmic discussion with those holding the false doctrine. You run across the type of people that want to bend your ear with their human viewpoint. You're not obligated to sit there and engage in discourse with these individuals. 1 Timothy 6, 20 and 21, unless you're at work and it's your boss. here, obviously, it's addressing the pastor teacher. It's applicable for all concerned as it all begins at the top, if you will, the authoritative chain of command. I've got to avoid it so I can teach you to avoid it. See, that's the idea. Oh, Timothy, guard, literally, the deposit, what has been entrusted to you. And that's what we call the good deposit. The deposit of a Bible doctrine. Avoiding profane and empty chatter. Translated worldly and empty chatter. Avoid these things, especially from the pulpit. and the contradictions or opposing arguments of what is so-called, quote, knowledge, end quote. Stick with the truth. If you stick with the truth, you will do well. You don't have to get wrapped up in all this other stuff. None of us do. Only to the degree, obviously, that we've got to face it, living out in Satan's world. But for our own personal pursuits, our own agendas, etc., people want to have their messed up human viewpoint approaches. Fine. Opportunity, give the witness of the light. Fine. You can usually tell fairly quickly whether people are really interested or not. They get that immediate glazed look over their eyes. Don't waste your breath. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to light to see saints in Jesus' name. Amen.